Good morning, everyone. This is Patrick Cuccinelli at Leading Age New York, and this is our Navigating the Basics of FEMA call. And I just want to advise everyone that this call coincidentally is on the same day that there's a series of DOH calls on FEMA. Please be sure not to confuse the two. Even though you're listening to this call, you still should sign in and listen to the DOH calls. We are pleased, very pleased this morning to have representatives from Disaster Strategies and Ideas Group doing this presentation for us, and they came through for us and did this wanted to do this presentation on very short notice, and we're very appreciative of them. You should have a packet of information from DSI, and our presenters today are Mr. Ray Runo, who comes with a lot of experience. He used to be the Florida Department of Health Director of Emergency Operations and is now working for DSI, along with Frank Kutnick, who was the recovery chief for several years in the state of Florida. Obviously, we know that the state of Florida has a lot of experience, and they are now running an active disaster recovery field office down in Florida from multiple hurricanes, Katrina, Dennis, Wilma, Debbie, Isaac. So there's no shortage of experience here. The only thing I would say is that our presenters today are from Florida, and they may not realize that here in New York, when it's the dead of winter and we're in the middle of a blizzard, we always console ourselves by saying, well, it could be worse. We could have those hurricanes like they have in Florida. But I guess we can't say that anymore, guys. Anyway, thank you again for doing this, and I'll turn the presentation over to you.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. This is Frank Kutnick. I'm going to give you just a very, very brief overview of what you're about to face. You obviously have had damages to your facilities, or else you wouldn't be on this call. FEMA will reimburse you for a lot of your damages and a lot of your what they call emergency protective measures. That being whatever you had to do to shore up your facility, especially if you had to transport people, move people, evacuate to another facility, or whatever. There's going to be a lot of things here that will be eligible as a nonprofit organization. I'm just going to give you six very brief points, and if you read this information that I sent out to you or Patrick sent out to you yesterday, I'm just going to summarize what's already in those documents. Those documents are very, very helpful. They're very generic. They will apply to anybody in any state. So I'll just make a couple of points and then entertain any questions that you guys may have. One of the first things that qualifies you as a private nonprofit is you've got to have a 501c3 or 3CDE or F designation from the IRS. And in conversations with Patrick yesterday, that doesn't seem to be any issue for any of you guys. Your facility, if you have facility damages, if you're located in a building, that building has to be at least 50% used for the private nonprofit activities. That, for example, you may be co-located in a facility that's a private for-profit doctor's office or something like that. I'm not sure about how you guys are structured, but at least 50% of your facility has to be used for the private nonprofit activity, and providing custodial care to nursing home patients is definitely eligible. The third point is I just want to make sure that only your facilities that are in the declared counties that the Department of Health notified you all yesterday, and that would be Bronx County, King, Nassau, New York, Orange, Putnam, Queens, Richmond, Rockland, Suffolk, Sullivan, and Ulster and Winchester counties. That's all I'm talking to today. The rest of you guys are not eligible, regardless of your damages, until your county is made eligible by being declared or added to the state of New York's disaster declaration. That is an ongoing process. Here in Florida, normally, we'll start out with just the core impacted counties. For example, in Isaac, we had two counties declared, and now we've got over 30 declared. So they're all added on over time as each of the counties meet a certain amount of physical thresholds. Your county can be added into the Presidential Disaster Declaration. But for today, only those counties that I listed, if your facility is in one of those counties, all of this is pertinent for you. The other point I'll make is that you're going to be hearing discussions, and somebody in your county, your city, or somewhere is going to be telling you about this thing called an applicant's briefing. Wherever that is held, make sure you go to it. Applicant's briefing. That is where FEMA and the state will come together and add you or discuss to you the entire public assistance process, everything on the federal side that you'll need to know, and the state will be represented there, and they will basically fill in the gaps from the state side. Everybody in that particular community that is going to apply for federal FEMA assistance must be at that meeting. And the reason they need to be there, the only reason they need to be there, is to sign a form which is called the Request for Federal Assistance, an RFA. Now, you can do that in the state of Florida. You can actually do it online. We've got it set up here. In fact, I encourage you to go to www.floridapa.org, FLORIDAPA.org, and you can look at the web portal that we've created here, because we had to do something here, because we're currently managing about 15 open presidential disaster declarations. So whenever you hear about this thing called an applicant's briefing, you really need to go there. And I've been corrected. It's not RFA, it's RPA. But that they will tell you that. That is a document that you just need to sign. And by signing that document, what you are saying to FEMA is, I'm an eligible applicant. I have eligible damages. FEMA, I want you to come and to my facility. We're going to do a walkthrough damage assessment and write up a scope of work for the repair of my facility. That whole process starts by signing that RPA, okay? That RPA will also determine your eligibility. I don't foresee any problems in any of you guys being eligible for FEMA reimbursement. As long as you're private nonprofits and you've got a 501c3 from the IRS, there should be no issue or problems with that. The fourth thing is you must be legally responsible for the repairs. In other words, if you're renting in a facility or if you're doing something, some kind of or whatever, you have to be responsible for the repairs. In other words, you have to write the check for the repairs. If you're in a rental building and your landlord is going to repair it, well, then no, you're not eligible because somebody else is going to take care of it for you. What FEMA will do is your private insurance, whatever insurance, insured losses that you have, obviously that's going to be your first hit. They want you to go and exhaust your facility's insurance policies first. The difference between what your private insurance will pay and what your ultimate losses are, that is the amount that FEMA will entertain to reimburse you for. It's not a guarantee, but that's the part that you're eligible for. And lastly, you're fortunate in that FEMA breaks down private nonprofits into two categories. And Category 1 is called critical, and Category 2 is called non-critical. All of you, because you're in custodial care, are considered critical. And because you're considered critical, what FEMA would normally require all the non-critical PNPs to do is you would have to go to the Small Business Administration first and apply for a low-interest loan. If SBA denied you that loan, then you could get reimbursed by FEMA. But because you are a critical private nonprofit, you go directly to FEMA. You do not have to go to SBA first. So that is a really big deal, big plus for you. And lastly, I'm not going to bore you with this because you really don't need to know all this, but when FEMA does come and sit down with you, and they will with each and every one of you one-on-one, you will be made aware of there's basically eight categories of eligibility, and they call them categories, and it's category A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. You're going to hear things like Cat B. That's where your Cat B is called Emergency Protective Measures. That's the category that's going to make you eligible for any preparedness work you did, any extraordinary costs for shuttering your facilities. If you had to move your people, if you had to evacuate them, those evacuation costs are eligible for reimbursement. And then you're going to hear another one is there's a category that deals specifically with buildings, which I believe is Cat D. And so that's where I'm thinking that most of you are going to be made eligible for is the fixing of your buildings, your facilities, your grounds, and then anything you had to do in terms of a protective measure. And that's about it, Patrick. That is a summation of the documents I sent you. I would encourage you. The one document that's very helpful is the one FEMA produced. It's called DAP 9521.3, and DAP stands for Disaster Assistance Publication or Policy. And there's a lot of references to 44 CFR, Code of Federal Regulations. And I easily, when they would mention one of these citations in that document, I just Googled it directly, and you'll get 100 hits on that specific site so you can read exactly what it is. Most of the times they refer you to the Code of Federal Regulations. It's a list of definitions, or it's something that doesn't really impact you one way or the other. That's basically what we briefed Patrick on yesterday. And he, having heard this, he said at least that would be of benefit to your stakeholders. And so hopefully this has not muddied the water but cleared it a little bit for you. And I guess, Patrick, it's your call. We'll entertain questions or anything that you desire.
Sure, absolutely. Just one quick question from me. You got to look at the letter that came out yesterday from DOH.
Yeah.
Just based on what you could read in that letter, does it seem like they're following the same basic pattern that you have down in Florida?
Yes, they are. First of all, they're telling you in their letter what the declared counties are, and like I said, that's very, very important. They're telling you that you're a nonprofit health provider, second paragraph, and that you're entitled to apply to FEMA for public assistance, okay? That's very, very important. And then they even talk to you there about that SBA thing. That does not apply to you. You are you're going to go directly to FEMA. You're not going to have to go to SBA. And it looks like the New York Department of Health is reaching out to you. Here in Florida, that's a joint effort between the Florida Division of Emergency Management, which is where all of the public assistance programs are housed, and the Department of Health, who has all the contacts for all the healthcare providers in the state. Between the two, we do the same thing. We notify as many people in the declared counties that they may be eligible for reimbursement.
Okay, well, if you guys are all set, then maybe Shante will open it up for questions.
Yes, sir. At this time, if you have a question or a comment, please press 1 now. Please only press 1 once. If you press it twice, it will remove you from the queue. We do have a question from Patricia Greeny.
Good morning, gentlemen. We're a nursing home located in the Bronx, and we were asked by OEM to take in folks from both three places, actually, a nursing home in Brooklyn that needed to be evacuated, NYU Medical Center, and also an adult care facility in Brooklyn, and we have in excess of 250 people that we've taken in. I would say at least 140 of them are going to be staying with us for 3 to 6 months, and I am just trying to find out how I would apply to FEMA. We had to prepare the facility to receive them within 48 hours, the building, which had been closed for 2 years, and also the services that we're now going to provide them, housekeeping, security, various things like that. And I just want to, I believe it'll cost us in excess of $500,000 to do this. And I just wanted to find out if there's any kind of emergency way to get some funding. The gentleman from FEMA, when I went to the mayor's and the city's briefing the other day, said they would be doing 3-month grant intervals to provide funding to those types of organizations that were offering shelter. And I just wanted to find out how I would get that as soon as possible from FEMA, since we desperately need it.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and you're very fortunate in that the city tasked you to do this. These people just didn't show up on their own, but because
no.
you were tasked to do it,
yes.
you are in essence at the request of an official government entity, i.e. the City of New York,
right.
you have been tasked to house these people, special needs people, and they're not everything is eligible, but a whole lot of it is. And that's why if you have not heard of the applicant's briefing, or if they've already had one and you missed it.
I went, yeah.
Okay. And did you sign that request for federal assistance at that point?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, what's going to happen is FEMA's going to send a team of people to your facility. You're going to sit down with them and tell them just what I told you, and they're going to, hopefully the state will match up with them. Not every state does, but it should be a team of state and federals coming to you. They will, have they talked to you about this thing called a kickoff meeting?
We haven't heard from them yet, no.
All right, that's the next thing they're going to ask you to participate in. Is this animal called a kickoff meeting. And that's where all of these details are going to be explained to you. I wish I could say every FEMA region does it exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
but I've experienced that they do not.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Florida, we're lucky to get the same region twice because we're in Region 4 down here. I think you guys are in Region 2. Is that correct? Region 2?
Possibly. I'm
okay.
not quite sure.
All right. That's fine. You don't need to know that. But your regional staff are going to mobilize and show up. I'm sure the state already has this thing called a joint field office set up somewhere, probably in New York or Albany or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be coordinating all of the kickoff meetings with all of the applicants. And all of you will be getting notified that we're coming to town and we need to set up an appointment and we need to sit down with you. And at that point, provide to them as much detail as you can about your projected costs,
mm-hmm.
and especially cost up to date. And it sounds like the mayor up there is offering you quite a nice little deal with these 3-month increments. They don't have to do that, and that may make the city themselves the applicant, and they're going to go through all this mishmash, and they will simply pay you, which would be heaven for you because then you don't have to worry about anything.
In other words, they would apply to FEMA and then
yeah.
just transfer the funding to us?
They would just give you the money, and the city itself would be the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. Who is the applicant? You guys can be the applicant, but, man, your life is going to be a whole lot easier if the city is the applicant and let them go through all this paperwork. And then
mm-hmm.
they will simply reimburse you because you are providing a government service for an eligible government entity.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it was OEM who actually asked us to take these folks.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
very good.
So, okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Hey, our next question will come from Lowell Fine.
Hi. Actually, it was the same question as the young lady just asked, but separately, can the gentleman repeat that Florida website that he noted earlier in the conversation?
Yes, it's www.floridap, PA.org.
Florida, TA is in Thomas Apple?
PA is in Paul Apple.
PA.org.
.org. And now, it's going to ask you for a password and a sign-in. You're not going to be able to do that, but on the toolbar on the top of that page, there's about six different pull-downs. Go to the one that says PA Info. Pull that one down, and everything I sent you all came from that site. So there's that and much, much more on there that will explain this process ad nauseum to you.
And, Patrick, I don't know if you're still on the call. You had referenced, or I guess the gentleman referenced, some information that was sent yesterday. I actually got was the flyer. So how can we get that info?
It's actually posted on our website. So Lowell, you can either email me and I'll get it to you directly, or we're going to be putting out an announcement pretty soon on the encore or recording of this phone call, and we'll reference the materials again.
Very good. Thank you both.
Yes, sir.
Okay, our next question will come from Dennis Conway.
Okay, I guess we're the unlucky people who have had to evacuate, and it's going to take anywhere from another 6 to 10 weeks to get back into operations for our nursing home. Our concern is, while we've initiated the FEMA process here in Nassau County at the City of Long Beach, we are pursuing it with FEMA. How do the dollars flow? I mean, how quickly do you think we can get any assistance from FEMA, given the fact that we're incurring expenses for the rebuilding of the first floor of our nursing home, as well as incurring expenses in our hospital for rebuilding portions of the hospital that are necessary. Can you help me understand what is the normal cost for monies to flow from FEMA?
Yes, sir. Because I'm assuming that your damages are more than $68,000.
They're much more than $68,000.
Okay.
Your assumption is very good.
Okay. Had it been under $68,000, that is the magic cutoff between what FEMA will call a small project and a large project. If it had been a small project...
We have an extra large project.
Okay.
Supersized.
A supersized project. All right, you're into a cost reimbursable arena. You're going to be able at you said you're in the City of Long Beach.
Yes, that's correct.
And you're in Nassau County. So somebody is going to be telling you the process that they want you to follow in your jurisdiction. But in most cases, how it works down here is the applicant, we ask that they submit quarterly reimbursements. If that is tenuous on them, they can send in a reimbursement request weekly if they want to. And it takes, on average, there's a lot that's got to happen. The first thing that's going to happen is, in order to capture all of the eligible costs, after you have this kickoff meeting, the next thing that's going to happen is that same team, maybe even on the same day, I doubt it, but we'll come back and prepare what's called project worksheets, PWs. You're going to hear that acronym thrown around a lot, PWs, all right? That project worksheet, think of it as a scope of work. It is a management tool. Basically, what you're getting is a grant from the state and federal government, and the mechanism for receiving that grant, which is generated through that project worksheet, is just like any other grant you would be getting from any other federal or state entity. It's basically, FEMA is nothing more than a glorified grants management agency at this point in recovery. They're going to give you the money, but it's going to be treated like almost any grant that you get. So first thing that's got to happen is You have to get all of this work captured in a project worksheet. And that is a function of you going through those steps first thing you've got to have is that kickoff meeting, and then they're going to send this thing called a PAC, a PAC, which is Public Assistance Coordinator. And that PAC team should be comprised of you, the state, and FEMA. In many states, it's just going to be you and FEMA. I don't know how the state of New York runs its show up there, but here in Florida, we match up with FEMA when we go knocking on the door of the applicant, just to make sure that the state is the ombudsman for the applicant, because you don't know this process. And in all due fairness to my federal partners, they are not there to show you every nickel and dime you're eligible for. They are there to contain costs. So you've got to have somebody with you that understands this process as you go through it. But the next step for you is to get your damages, get your buildings, get them in the right categories, and all of that's going to happen through the preparation of your project worksheets. Once that's done, that project worksheet will go to your joint field office, wherever that is at. FEMA will approve it. Once it's approved, all of the money that is listed on that project worksheet will be obligated, which means they go to the U.S. Treasury, grab that amount of money, and make it available for you for the life of your project. I know I'm throwing out a bunch of terms that you guys don't need to know, but this, like I said, it's not rocket science, but it's just complicated if you haven't ever been through it. It's basically like getting a bank loan, a construction loan. In other words, you will go to the bank and get a construction loan. The bank isn't going to give you all of the money up front. Most banks won't. You will incur those costs and then go to the bank, and the bank will give you that pot of money for that part of that reconstruction of your facility. That's basically how FEMA runs the show in large projects.
But I understand also that FEMA has an interest in understanding themselves to what extent our insurance carrier will cover
absolutely
any of the damages.
And here,
so that has to be ruled out first before the...
Oh, yes. And here, I'll pre-warn all of you. That is your first battle. FEMA's going to point to the insurance company and wait on them. The insurance company's going to point at FEMA and wait on them. And then you have two pink fingers pointing at each other, and nobody is moving off the dime. So you, as the applicant, encourage your insurance carrier. Don't sit around on this. We need an answer fairly quick, because the difference between what they're going to cover and the ultimate cost, that's the part that FEMA will reimburse you for, but they will not move an inch until they know for certain how much your insurance provider is going to cover.
A question for Patrick. Patrick, under the 1115 waiver that the state is pursuing with the federal government, are there meant to be monies for capital that FEMA might want to take into account before they calculate how much FEMA is going to pay us?
That's possible, Dennis. The state, I forgot the number. I think it's, please don't quote me on this, I think the state is actually looking for $30 billion in relief funding from the feds. And some of that money could go exactly as you described to capital issues for damaged facilities. So it's going to, as the presenters are saying, you've got a lot of things in play here, and it is going to be complicated to sort it out, I think.
Yeah, our concern is cash flow, and you know, if we're incurring, I don't mean to take up the whole phone conversation, but if we're incurring capital expenses for getting the building back into shape again, is that, you know, again, my question is, how quickly can the completed project worksheet be submitted to the field office and processed so that we get, a timely payment?
Well, Dennis, are you planning to be on the nursing home call at 1:30 this afternoon?
Yeah, that's a question for that call.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, I think one of the tools that the presenters, I think, is very valuable they've given us today is a lot of terminology to use. And on the call today, like if they go like the call this morning, the presentation will be very short, so there's a lot of time for questions. And I would take some of these issues like project worksheet and kickoff meeting,
okay.
And I would, you know, and I would press DOH on when is this stuff going to happen.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable, Frank and Ray?
Absolutely. And Ray and I were just talking about something as you were replying there. Please make sure all your members keep meticulous records and document every dime that's been spent, because, again, that is another do-or-die thing. If you cannot back up your expenses with documentation, they cannot write the project worksheet.
My last, I think this is something everybody needs to know. Our understanding is that FEMA requires three bids for any work that's being done. Is that correct? Or as well as any purchase of equipment or furnishings?
That sounds about right, yeah.
They need three bids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, again, at this time, if you have a question or comment, please press 1 now. We have a follow-up question from the line of Patricia Greeny.
Yeah, I just have one more question, if you wouldn't mind. In order to accept the evacuees that we accepted, the empty building on the campus we had to have ready within 48 hours, and the building had been closed for a substantial amount of time. We had to have folks come in and do various things with the lighting. We had to get the boiler up and running. Things like that. Obviously, if you have to turn something around in 48 hours, you don't have time to get three bids and things like that. You just do it so that the people can get in within 48 hours. How would FEMA, take care of those costs for us?
I don't think that's going to be a real issue for you. You have the need for speed.
Yeah.
That is definitely a reimbursable cost. But the key is, somebody has to bill you, and it's like FEMA's going to be like the broker. They're going to pay the bills. Think of them as a checkbook. There has to be a bill to be paid.
Right, right.
So you have to document, or somebody has to bill you for the use of that facility, for their time, for cranking up the boiler, for even the gas to heat the place. All of that, if it can be documented, will be made eligible, and believe me, when they have these kickoff meetings, they will go into great detail about what you will need to do.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, it was one of those things where you don't have time to go to FEMA first and ask.
Yeah.
You know, the city asked you to do this, so we literally worked for the weekend to get the building prepared.
Absolutely.
We were told, you know.
And your overtime costs will probably be eligible. Your straight time will not, but your overtime will. What you went through is this another world. It's called emergency repairs, and it is definitely eligible.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
At this time, I have no further questions in the queue.
Well, that was fairly painless.
But here's an important question. What's the weather like in Florida today?
Oh, you don't want to know. It is a bright, sunny day. It's probably going to be 72. Come on down. I know y'all don't want to live up there in all that nasty cold stuff. Come on down. We need your money.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. And if members they have your contact information, if anyone wants to contact you any further.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the best way for Ray and I would be by email, because, like I said, we are in an active DFO and we're pretty busy. So I don't want to miss a call, so it would be better if you would email your questions to us and we will get you the proper answer. And let me give you my email address. It would be Frank, F-R-A-N-K, at DSIDEAS.com. That's DSIDEAS.com. And Ray is simply Ray at DSIDEAS.com.
And Patrick, if I might, just one more note here is for your
For your facilities to be active players in this process, as these project worksheets are being written, you know, provide oversight, reasonable oversight, and understand what is being put in there, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Because it'll all come out in the wash, but again, be an active player in this recovery process, and if you're not sure, ask.
Well, we really appreciate your expertise from your experience down in Florida. We hope that here that this is not a trend for the future, that we're going to have to become as expert at this in New York as you guys are. But thank you very much, and if there's no further questions, we'll end the call.
All right, sir.
Shante, are we all set?
Actually, we just got a follow-up question from Mr. Conway.
Okay.
I'm sorry, because I walked into the conference call a few minutes late. Frank and Ray, you have a company, I guess, that provides consultation services?
Yes, we do.
And consultation specific to FEMA?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And could you give me, so the name of your company is what?
It's called Disaster Strategies and Ideas Group.
My gosh.
DSI.
Okay. And can you give us your full names and phone numbers?
Sure. It's Ray, R-A-Y.
Yeah.
Bruno, R-U-N-O.
R-U-N-O.
And his number is 850.
Yeah.
274.
Uh huh.
8601.
Okay, and
I'm Frank.
Frank.
Last name is K-O-U-T-N-I-K.
Uh huh.
And I'm 850-559-5280.
Okay. All right, and okay, you guys worked at FEMA one time?
You know, I never did, but we've hired a lot of people here on our staff that are ex-FEMA PACs, Public Assistance Coordinators. So our current staff is half ex-FEMA and half ex-state employees, and so we've got hundreds of years of banked knowledge in this world.
Would FEMA cover the cost of your consultation?
That is very, very tricky. Under the right circumstances, they will. But that's where you would need to, like I said, everybody does this a little differently. Your region may be a little bit more lenient than our region is. Ask that question when they come to you for the kickoff meeting and see what they say. It can be done under Category B. But it kind of sort of depends on how gracious FEMA wants to be.
Yeah, the question of somebody's intricately knowledgeable of FEMA's processing, perhaps it makes sense to use them, and you know, you would get us payments on a more timely basis.
It is a possibility. I would investigate that, like I said, with your indigenous group up there. I know how we do it here, but every state and every region does it a little different.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
I have no further questions in the queue.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks again to the people at DSI, and have a happy holiday, everyone.
All right.